here we go. Thank you, Lord. We've already prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead now. We need to start over.
Okay. I had a really great dream this weekend, so I want to share it. I couldn't sleep at night, so I put on a Bible study of David's, and I was listening to that, and I fell asleep, and in my sleep, I dreamt that Frank was listening to the Bible study with me, and it was something on the book of James. And in the dream, David was preaching it, and Frank was listening, and like all the verses were there and everything, and something just struck Frank, and it made sense, and he understood it, and he agreed with it, and oh gosh, what happened next? And then so then there was something else that happened, and he started. Frank was sitting on the side in a group of us, and he was preaching out of the book of James, and just reading the book of James to us and expounding on it, kind of like what David was doing. And then the next scene was, it was all of us. And for some reason, David was laying on the ground and Frank was laying next to him on the ground. And he was, just really apologizing to David for not having believed him and just like kind of curling up to him and just getting really close to him and just apologizing to him that he hadn't believed him and stuff. And like, it just all made sense now. And then, David started talking about something in the book of James, and then he stopped and Frank picked up and he continued on, and then he'd stop and then David would finish the sentence, and then he would stop and Frank would finish the sentence, and they were just having so much fun going back and forth and doing that. And it was just, I just didn't want the dream to end. It was so great. So, amen. I'm looking forward to that.
You got to write that down.
I wrote down what I could remember. Yes.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. Thank you, Father. We know what's going to happen. Absolutely. That's a done deal. Thank you, Father, for bringing Frank right along. Hobble him right there with David. Jesus' name. All right. That's a good testimony. Anyone else? Yeah, it will. David said to write the date down because it's going to be a good day to look back on. Amen. All right, next. Hey, Pat. All right. Anybody got a prayer? How about y'all ready to praise the Lord? Wow, y'all get ready to jump up. Go ahead, Lana.
Hey, everybody. Sorry, I don't mean to be late to the game here right before
oh,
the
that's
song,
okay.
but I wanted to share a couple of testimonies. This weekend, we went to Costco, and before we went shopping, we went to the food court and got some food for the kids and sat down at one of their tables, and as we were eating, I heard a commotion behind me because I was sitting with my back to it, and Theo was sitting in front of me, facing me so he could see what was going on, and turns out there was a big lady riding one of those handicap shopping carts. And she lost control of the cart, and it was heading straight for my back. And the employees were yelling, and they were trying to get her to stop or whatever. And she's like, oh, I know. I don't know what's happening. So anyways, they got her to stop, praise the Lord. And they say it was about 6 inches from my back. And I honestly didn't even look behind me. I just kept feeding the kids. I was kind of like, cool. And one of the employees came over, and he was just like, man, that was crazy. Praise the Lord, nothing happened. The guardian angels were definitely on the lookout for you guys. And we completely agreed with them. We were like, yep, it was definitely the guardian angels. And my husband, you know, was like, yep, saw it happen. It was crazy. And turns out this guy is a believer and he was giving all the glory to God. And he was telling us, I guess, that he, you know, he spends his time with the Lord every day and he sees lots of miracles. And this is another one to add, you know, to the bucket. It's so great. And he was just so pleased with our reaction. Honestly, we had no reason to worry. Nothing really happened. Glory to God. And so we just kept doing our thing, you know, feeding the kiddos and getting ready to go shop. But he was just so pleased with us and the kids that he went and got them some ice cream from the food court. And of course that just made their day too. So, we were so happy for such a blessed experience and to run into another believer and bless them and they blessed us in return. It was such a pleasant thing. So all glory to God for that.
Amen.
And then yesterday I took Theo to the airport and as we pulled up to the departure gates, Theo looked at me and said, I don't have my passport and he's in Canada right now. So he did make it. Praise the Lord. And I looked at him and I said, you need to go check in your bags and I'm going home, to get the passport. And praise the Lord, like that cause we had been running errands up until this time. And I'm just like, Lord, I could have gotten distracted with something and said, hey, we need to stop here and we need to get this done before I drop you off and whatnot. But we got to the airport in such a time that I was able to run home, grab the documents and the passport and come back, which took me an hour and a half. And still, Theo had half an hour before boarding to be able to grab those documents
Oh,
from
my
me
goodness.
and head back to the gate and get on his plane in plenty of time. So, at first it's kind of like, oh man, how do we let this happen? Like, how did I forget this? And all I just kept thinking about was, Lord, you're sovereign. This obviously happened, but, thank you that we had plenty of time to go home and get this stuff. And I was able to do it and come back. And we went on our way, you know, all ended well. Glory to God.
Praise God. Praise
And
God.
then,
Thank you, Father.
yes. And then one last thing, I went to Kroger to get groceries with the kids. And as I got into the store and put little Gabe into the buggy, as they call it out here, he started throwing a fit. Crying really hard because he didn't want to be in the buggy and this never happens. And I was like, oh no, enemy, you are not using my kids against me in the middle of a grocery trip. We are not doing this. So I started walking into the store and just binding and praying under my breath. And of course the boys are like, oh, we got to go to the bathroom and we got to go now. And that's it, mama. Just as we were grabbing the bananas. So I do a U-turn and I head to the restrooms and I'm still praying and casting all this stuff down as Gabe's getting louder by the minute. Anyways, I let the boys loose to go to the bathroom and I take Gabe with me and I take care of him. We come out of the bathroom and praise the Lord. It was like nothing had ever happened. The boys behaved themselves. Gabe was a happy kiddo again. No problem getting back into the buggy. It was a good trip. And I was like, Lord, thank you so much that we have such authority over the enemy that we command it and it is done in Jesus' name. So all glory
Praise
to God for a wonderful weekend filled with miracles.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Whew, that's awesome. All right, Missy. Thank you, Lauren. Go ahead.
Well, I have a testimony of I guess you could say something boneheaded that I did. Not even really.
Can you speak up just a little?
Okay. Something boneheaded I did earlier. You know, Michael, I have a girl just like you, you know? And I wanted to make burgers for dinner on the grill. And it popped into my head, you know, I wonder how, because I have this special thing that I can use to do this. I wonder how bacon would be on the grill because I have an infrared, there's this bowl thing that covers over the
Fine.
burners, the burners, and you don't get flare-ups. So, you know, I told Merle that I was gonna do the bacon on the grill. You know, I thought, well, you know, don't have the cleanup and everything. Well, I did the bacon. It turned out really well. It is a little smokier than normal with stuff that is you know little fatty and gets flare, you know, not flare-ups, but smoke. Well, I took the bacon in and I came out and I noticed there were these flames coming out of the back of the grill then. And I started to lift the lid up and then I put it back down. And here, I guess the grease had gotten too hot and it started a fire in there. That thing got so hot. It was like up to 700 degrees. And I just let it burn out and I told Merle about it. And actually Merle said to me about the grease and it, you know, whatever. And I said, but we got the bowl in it, you know, the flames don't get on it or whatever. Anyway, and you know, he was like, okay, whatever, you know, he didn't like say okay, but he just wasn't like, you know, now I don't think you should do that, you know. I mean, he wasn't like, I explained it to him, whatever. But I was like, so, but when I saw those flames, I turned the grill off because I still had the grill on and I turned the tank off too. And I'm like, I said, thank you, Lord. We didn't have anything major happen here. I didn't get burnt, nothing. I said, I thank you, Lord, that the grill is going to be fine and everything's fine. And, but like when it first happened, I'm like, I command you flames to go down, you know, and I don't know what else I prayed, you know. I wasn't like too worried about it, but you know, I was just like calm about it. But I was like, wow, that could have been horrible. Thankfully, there's brick right behind the grill where the house is. But if it had been like siding or wood or something like that, that would not have been good. But anyway, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't
Thank
do
you, Lord.
that again.
Yeah.
But so
I've done the
anyway.
same thing with chickens.
Oh
Put a
yeah.
whole, yeah, put a bunch of chicken on there and barbecue it. All that grease goes down in the bottom and catches fire.
Yeah. I've never had that happen before on this grill. Did you have that happen on your grill?
Yeah, I've had it now. I've had it happen a couple, two, three times. I do like
Okay.
you do. I just keep it down, turn the thing off, and walk away from it because it's there on the back porch. It ain't gonna hurt nothing.
Well, thankfully, I got the bacon off before it went up in
Oh
flames.
yeah.
Thank
Amen.
you, Lord. Because I was thinking about that. I was thinking, well, that's, you know, you can get just as much grease out of doing chicken as what you can be with.
Oh
I only
yeah.
had 5 pieces of bacon on there. If I had it loaded up with chicken that had the skin and fat on and everything. But anyway, thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Best way, in my opinion, the best way to do bacon is to nuke it.
Yeah, that's what I usually do, but I thought, well, I'm going to try something different
Yeah.
again.
Now you know.
Well,
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Let's have a little praise music. I think y'all know the song. Why would you want to smoke it? Why don't you cook it? All right, let's get started here.
the truth, I know the way. You think you're a lion, but I call a spade, you're just a kitten running up. Come on! Is the lion that cannot be
I just love that song. That's a good song. That's a good screaming song. Amen. All right, anybody else? What y'all want to do tonight? How about Romans? Oh, let's see, where are we? Romans 16. Let's see here. I think we're in Romans 5, aren't we? I'm going to say, no, that's 6. We're in Romans 5. Anybody got, is that right? Somebody agreed with me. Okay, that's where we're starting. The heading of this in mine's on the Esau here says, peace with God through faith. Everybody ready? All right. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Okay, anybody got any comments on this? You know what he's talking about. We're justified how? By faith. And we have that peace because why? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in us. We have peace. And through whom also, he said, we have had our access by faith into where? This grace wherein we stand. We stand in what? God's grace and his faith. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Okay, somebody tell me what he's talking about there. Come on, y'all. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom? Through who? Through Jesus Christ. Also, we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Yeah, Missy.
Well, it says, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace. Well, it just makes me think of, for by grace have you been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not at works, that no man should glory.
Amen. What that mean?
We give God the faith. He gives us the grace, and it's by our faith in him, not our works, that we're saved.
So what you're saying is this, if I'm not mistaken. You're saying that our grace comes through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill that grace in us, or on us, or around us, or over us.
But huh? Even that, Yes, but even that faith is a gift.
Is a what?
Even the faith is a gift.
Okay, yeah. Who's that come from?
God. So everything comes from him, right?
Yeah. It does. All the faith. He gave us the faith. He gives us everything. It's all accessible to us. How is it accessible to us? Through the faith that he gave us. And you're right. That's that little faith. That little mustard seed faith opens all the doors. Opens all the doors through God's grace. Anybody else want to expound on even what Missy said? Thank you, Missy. Yeah, Benita.
I don't know if it's going off of what Missy said, but I was just having a hard day today. All these things were felt like I wasn't capable, and things weren't getting done, and just so much stuff. And I just like was resting on basically this verse here. It just I by faith I could have peace, and just know that it's all. I don't need to worry about it. It's all. I have strong hope in the Lord and grace and peace and praise the Lord. And it's all by faith, which was his gift. So amen for that.
That's a good point, because that brings me to something I'd like to talk about. Being therefore justified by faith, that the faith that Jesus gave us, we have peace with God. Why would we need peace? Well, let me just tell you where we are. God has brought us to a place that some of us here, that we've given everything that we have to help these people overseas. And we're just believing God to help us to come back through it. And I'll tell you something. I'm looking. I know it's happening. I know deep down in my spirit, I know that he's going to bless everybody that has sacrificially sacrificed their whole, they've gone without a lot here in the last month, 2 months, almost 2 months now. And he's already given us so many promises about what's coming. That's the peace that God wants us to be in, not to have to worry about, well, is the money going to come in before that I have to pay my rent, or is the money going to come in before this happens or before that happens? No, don't be murmurs. Just believe God, because he's a last minute God. Y'all know that? He is a last minute God. All, you know, he's going to try your faith that he gave you, that he gave us. He's going to use that. He's going to, because what he wants in the days ahead is people who sacrifice and believe God's going to go ahead and pull up the slack wherever it might be. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's God that's in charge, not what we see with our eyes, not what we feel in our pocketbooks, not even what we feel in our bodies. It makes no difference. Because God's in charge. And if you put your faith in God, that peace that Benita was talking about will settle in on you. And you'll just rejoice, because you know that God's people are fixing to get blessed. Their socks is going to come off, because you heard it best, your socks off. That's what's going to happen. Going to bless your socks. There's going to be socks laying everywhere, glory to God. Because he's fixing to bless his folks that are sacrificing so much to help others. And I'm looking very forward to it. Looking very forward to it. And that's that peace that Benita was talking about, that peace that we know that God's not going to let us down. You know, we're not going to be like those Israelis out in the desert that were murmuring all the time. We're going to be like Joshua and Caleb, aren't we? We're going to be like those two. We can whoop them. Did you hear what the Lord said? The Lord said, we can whoop them. Bless God. We go on and get your stuff together. Let's go around and whoop that bunch. You know? That's the attitude we have to take because God said. And as we oftentimes say, it's all of us, it's about, but God. It looks like this, but God. It feels like this, but God. God said, he ain't going to let you get out there where you can't do something. He's going to make you think that way just to test your faith in him. And when you get out there and you demonstrate that I'm going to trust you, Lord, I don't care what happened. I'm going to trust you. What was it? Trying to think of the one that David always mentions. I'll think of it here in a minute. It don't make any difference what you do, Pharaoh or king. If I die, it'll make no difference. I'm still going to trust my God. Anyway, that's where God wants us. God wants us to trust him in everything. If you prayed it, you know what's going to happen. You know what? Listen, you know what praying and believing is? It's a mechanical thing. It's not anything that you... how many of you know God's good and he's going to answer your prayers? God's good and he's going to answer my prayer. And it's just a mechanical thing. Well, I know when I pray, that's God. God's going to answer. It's a mechanical. When you put your hands on somebody, you know that they're going to get healed. It's not anything that I can do. I would well already know that. But I know that when I put my hands on them, God's going to do something because it's the power of God going through me to them that's going to heal them or deliver them or set them free in whatever fashion it is. And we know here in this fellowship, every time we all agree together in a prayer, we know what's going to happen. It's more or less a more of a mechanical thing than anything, in my opinion. You just believe it. You know what's going to happen. It's like putting on a switch, light switch. You know, when you turn that light switch on, that light's coming on. You know, when you open your mouth in prayer, God's going to answer. Same thing. It's the same thing. I hope I'm not boring y'all. Go ahead, Manita.
All right. I just wanted to say that after I turned it over to the Lord today, I opened up to Isaiah 14 and what a blessing that was. It was just such a confirmation. It was just like, yeah, he's going to take them down, all your enemies, everybody that's against you, all the kings that are, don't worry about it. He's got it all. It's all written right there in the word in Isaiah 14. So there's our promise and there it is in the word. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
Sorry, it's a little bit sidetracked, but when you read that first thing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was praying a couple of days ago and I'm putting my armor on, praying that. The next moment, the Lord gave me a vision of a lamppost with the armor on. And I really start to think about that. Just remember that the lamppost, the light is Jesus, when all armor, the shield and the sword is not on the thing because it's not part of a body. But the Lord told me that Jesus is a prince of light. Jesus is a prince of peace. He's our righteousness. He's the truth we have. He's the word of God. He's the sword. He's everything. It just makes sense of what I was thinking of. So I'm not sure if it's making sense to you, but it just makes sense to me because it's everything. Sorry, I'm just a bit of sidetrack, but that's the Lord showed me. I just want to give thanks to him, friend.
That's right on target. That ain't no sidetrack, brother. That's right on target. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Yeah. That's a good vision. Praise God. Absolutely. That's what he wants us to be, isn't it?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else on these two verses? Okay, here comes some more good stuff. You know, for the Jesus. All right. Romans, what happened here? Quit. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation works steadfastness. We also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation works steadfastness. How many of you like tribulation? Well, we get it whether we like it or not, don't we? But if we understand what tribulation's doing in our lives, you know, it's helping us in our faith. It's building our faith up immensely, because if you stand in your faith, you know what's going to happen. Knowing that tribulation works steadfast, you're going to be steadfast in your faith. You're going to see it happen. Ever been in. Anybody else got anything on that particular verse? Yeah, Beans.
It makes me think of that first chapter in James where it says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have perfect work, that ye be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing.
Amen. Yep, that's exactly right. We rejoice. We also, not only see, I've got a little doohickey in there, and I don't know where it came from. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation works steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope. What you talking about there? Yeah, Julie.
I think the approvedness is we have God's approval. I think is what that means.
Amen.
So when we're patient in our trials, you know, God approves of that in us, that we're being patient.
That's right. We endure in our faith to see it happen. Don't we? And that's when that approvingness comes in. That's when he answers. And what happens when it's answered? It's hope. What is hope? Somebody tell me what hope is. Yeah, Ben. I mean, Andrew.
hope is your assured expectation.
Yeah.
As Jesus Christ did go to the cross and resurrection, which will bring you back to the justified, made righteous in verse 1. A lot of people go to that verse, one verse, when they're going through something, and it makes them focus on their justification, not by anything they did, but what the Lord God did and what Jesus Christ agreed to do, because the Father did ask him, and he said, okay, he went for us, yeah.
Maybe Ben, did you have your hand up there?
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Good answer.
Assured expectation.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. And hope puts not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us, period. What's he talking about? Our hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. What does that mean, Pat? You won't raise your hand, I'll raise it for you. How's that? I'm just kidding. If you want to wait a little bit, that's fine.
I was thinking.
Okay.
I was looking at that. Hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And I go back to verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace. And that peace in resting assuredly in the fact that our sin was taken by Jesus, and that it was accepted by our Father who raised him from the dead. There is nothing else that could have been done to approve of us, to have approval of God. There's nothing else that could have been done, and nothing else that could be done. Therefore, we have the ability through that to rest in peace with God, and that expectation through that peace, or founded in that peace, allows us to, that expectation for us not to be ashamed, because we are accepted by God, by our Father. And no other acceptance is required. It's always appreciated, but no other acceptance is required. Because his love is shed abroad in our heart through his Holy Spirit. So I guess I was just keying back upon that first cause of peace being released in our heart, and everything, hinged on that peace. And that acceptance with God that only he gives, and we couldn't buy, even if we had the ability to buy it. It's a free gift and given to each of us who believe and trust and rest in that sacrifice. So that's all.
Okay. Yep. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
That reminds me of what I also, I think it's last week, I read one of David's teachings. It makes no sense to me when he says, if you love God, you keep his commandment. You keep his commandment, you love God. So that's a continuation. But that can only be working through the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit working in us, when you get hope of keeping on love God, keeping off his commandments. I just remember, remember is not just your good love, but the commandment of God. Commandment means love. So I know what that makes, but to understand it for me is much easier. It's the commandment. If you do the commandments, you love God. And then if you love God, it's only because the Holy Spirit is working through you. That's all I want to add. Thank you.
It is. By the way, Joe, I saw where you live yesterday. I saw your building that you live in, the street what you live on.
White Street?
Yep, White Street. Yeah.
That's a good address.
Yeah, that's a good 501. Is it 501? Yeah.
502.
502. Okay. One off. Yeah, that's a nice building. Nice place. without electricity, I didn't see no lights on the inside of it, though.
How did you see it, Michael? Did you fly over?
Yeah, I translated over. See it, you know. No, you go to Google Earth. Yeah, that's pretty neat. Okay. Okay. Anybody else on those first five verses that we just read? So we do have peace with God through our faith in Him, don't we? We've got all the peace we need. How do you keep that peace? Keep staying in the Word, knowing the Word. Okay. For while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. For while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. That's kind of a tricky one there. Somebody tell me what that's talking about. Missy, come on, you men.
Well, for while we were yet weak, in due season, in due season makes me think of God's perfect timing, when He had planned, you know. I think. For while we were yet weak, it kind of makes me think of, you know, that's part of God's timing, and that when Israel, because the salvation was came first to the Jews, but when Israel was in the low estate, you know, that was God's perfect timing to bring forth a savior, you know. Christ died for the ungodly, you know. That's just my understanding of it.
So what you're saying is beforehand, He was already prophesied, right? Yeah. While we were yet weak, we couldn't do nothing until Christ came here, except, right, you know, believing what the prophets said. I see what Andrew says. Go ahead, Andrew.
Our weakness is God's opportunity.
So, yeah, that's a good one.
Seeing that we, being yet weak, in due season, Christ died for us ungodly, really, the next verse has to go into it too, but you know, yeah. So our weakness is God's opportunity. We're weak. We're not dead. You know, we're weak. We're alive in our weakness through God. Even God's our weakness is what's it say in Corinthians chapter 1 about our weakness there. God's weakness is stronger than man. So he identifies us as being weak sometimes, and He comes and helps us. He'll help us in our weakness when the world comes against us and all sides and stuff. Because, you know, this is what he's explaining in the previous five verses too, you know, going from tribulations to patience. Approveness, hope, and hope put it not to shame. And finally, we get the love of God through the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So that's God working through us to by faith, of course, because it's seeing that we being yet weak. That seeing their word is not by sight, but by faith. So praise and glory to God.
Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I agree with what Andrew's saying there. Verse 6, I think of, when I see that, I think of verse 8. And it speaks of the Lord's extreme love for us, seeing us in our ungodly state of sinfulness, was because of his love, ready to die, and offered himself to die for what he knew would come from that. I go to verse 8 there, and I probably shouldn't be jumping ahead, but God commendeth his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now that I'm reading that, I'm thinking, I'm wondering if there isn't a, when he says in 6, seeing that we, being weak in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly, I would assume, meaning those without God. But in verse 8, he's saying that while we were yet sinners, I'm kind of thinking on my feet as though there might be a difference there. But anyway, I'm thinking of Christ's unlimited love toward us in dying for us, even when we were in a complete weak state. And quite frankly, we couldn't have cared less about God. We were living our own lives, being pleased to and content to live completely without God or any other restraints in our life. I guess I'm speaking more of myself. And Christ, overlooking that weakness, yet died for us in that state. And so I just, to me, it just speaks volumes of his love and his faith in being willing to do so, knowing where we were at and who we were, yet he died for us. So I guess that's, I'll just wait till we get to verse 8.
Yeah, that's good. That to even try to fathom the love that Christ had for everybody, for the Father even, to do what he did. He knew he was going to do it when he came in. He knew the whole thing, you know, and yet he went ahead and did it. Golly, how many of you would do that? I got mine, you get yours. You know, that's most of the way sometimes we think. But he was beaten and all of that stuff that he went through. That's not the worst part. The worst part is when the Father put all of our sins on him, all of our sicknesses on him, as he talks about in Isaiah 53. He put all of that on. That was the worst part right there. My gracious, can you imagine the horrendous pain that that man was in? The things that he had to go through. Yeah, Julie.
It says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the whole world. He bore the sins of the whole world. And it's to all who believe it, right? But he did. He bore the sins of the whole world put upon him. That's astounding, right?
Yeah. It is. He not only that, he bore all the sicknesses also. This horrendous thing that he went through for one thing, for his love for us and the Father. Remember when he was up in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Lord, if it not be thy will, take this cup from me. Then he said, no, I got to go through this. Go ahead, Andrew. I'll get you in a minute. He had his hand up first.
I just want to go back up to this a verse in 5 where it says, the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost given us. You know, you have to use a comparison here for that verse in accordance to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, it's not written with ink. And it's not written on a stone. It's written upon our hearts of flesh by this Holy Spirit of God. But God is now shedding abroad upon our hearts and writing it there for us so that we can have that portion of the fruit of God in us. And that's a real special, I would say, sanctification of a person when this comes to pass. You know, because this is what you want. You want that shed abroad upon our hearts. So, you know, I used to always look at that verse being a printer and it's not written with ink, you know, but what kind of ink is it? It's circumcising your heart there because the word of God is being written there and you have that portion of Christ, which is the word, as it says in 19:13 of Revelation, he's the name called the Word of God. And that word is now written upon your hearts through the Father. And this is God the Father writing it there. He's shedding it upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And it's written there. And we need sometimes for a recall, which the Holy Spirit also does for us, according to 14:26 of John, he teaches us all these things, and by teaching it, he sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. And that name is the Word of God, because that's what it's in 19:13 of Revelation. And that written upon your hearts by the Father makes it so secure in there, because he's the Almighty God, Father. And it's just a lovely verse, and it's... So you see, the verse prior to this weakness, being yet weak, God's performing that. He's a ready writer with his pen to write that upon your heart so that you can have it at that particular time when you need it, because you get the recall from the Holy Spirit. Teach you all things and remind you everything he taught you, as it says in John 14:26. So you see that huge recall is the Holy Spirit and the functioning of God the Father and the Son in you. Because he says, and John also tells us that we love because he first loved us. And that's the love he's writing there. And he's got to write that love there because he's a father and he wants to give us the love. Because he said, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And that name is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So he did it all, really. And he's circumcising our heart. He's giving us circumcision. He's giving us reconciliation. He's giving us the cross, and he's reminding us of our baptism, which all collate together. Praise and glory to God. It just came to me right now when I saw that. Actually put brackets around love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. We'll probably put a little note there for 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I think it's 3 and 3, I'm sure. I'll look it up anyway. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to add a bit, but Julie says that you take all our sins upon him, but when it reminds me of that verse in 2 Corinthians 12, it says, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, he just bore the sins, for all that humiliation, he died, and he gives us his grace as well. So in other words, that's a big purpose for us is to be, if our weakness is, if we are weak, then he is strong. So he was weak, he was strong in us after he died. So we can be weak in him. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Amen. That's right. Somebody ought to write a book like it, you know, weakness, the way to God's power, something like that. You know. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to back up a little bit because
okay.
You were, and Patrick was, you know, talking about what the Lord went through, and then you were saying what you're saying, and what was coming to me was what I was reading today. What came to my mind was what I was reading, and when you said about that, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, you know, not my will, but your will. And I was like, yeah, I got to share this. I was reading the Hebrews 5, and I'm going to start in verse 7 and read through 10. But I was just like reading this and really thinking about it. It was just like, oh, wow. Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying, and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation, named of God a high priest forever, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Anyway, it was just, that just really gives you an even more of a mental picture of the Garden of Gethsemane there, you know. But, you know, the part, you know, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you went through. You, the forerunner, Lord, that showed us the way, how to do it. And we have the comforter, the power to overcome, just like you did, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You did. Where do we stop at? 5, 6.
6.
Okay, anybody else on those first 6 verses? All right, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die. For peradventure, for the good man, someone would even dare to die. What in the world is he talking about? For scarcely for a righteous man, one will die. For peradventure for the good man, some would even dare to die. He's talking about if it's a good man, most, you know, a lot of people would go ahead and save him, would have to help save him, whatever the action might be. Let's go on, read the next verse, and then we'll get into some good stuff. But God commendeth his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, put those two sentences together. What's he talking about then? I'll read it again. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. For peradventure, for the good man, someone would even dare to die. But God, commendeth his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, Ben.
Well, it's kind of just saying like anyone would die for someone that's a good person, but you know, God took it like a step further and he died for people that were unrighteous and that were not good. He saw that he could work into people, but in order for that to happen, Christ needed to die at the cross. I think is the gist of what's being said here. He loved us enough, even though we were unrighteous. So Christ died on the cross for us.
So he died for us without judging us, right? Is that what you're saying? Go ahead, yeah. Pat. I mean,
those read different in like King James and New American Standard. I'm going to read it in New American Standard. It's a little, I think it's a little bit clearer. And he's putting in verse 7, he says, for one will hardly die for a righteous man. Though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. And I think he's saying, fat chance anybody's going to die for anybody else. Very few people will die for anyone else. But if they're going to die, they might die for a righteous man. And perhaps even for a good man, some might even dare to die. So it's a sketchy synopsis. I think God is revealing a certain amount of doubt that most people wouldn't die for anyone else. And he's, I think, saying that, you know, maybe there's the fat chance that you might die for a good guy or a good person. Sketchy as it seems, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, rebels against God, haters of God, that God demonstrated his love in that he died for us. Christ died for us then, being in that state. So I All right, that's all I'm going to say. I think it's if you read it in the different translations, it kind of throws a little bit different aspect on it. But the bottom line is that, you know, maybe there's a chance that some of us would die for a righteous or a good man, but that is slim to none. But the comparison is that of God, who saw us in a complete hopeless state of degradation and devastation, selected and chose to die for us. So I think it's, to me, it's just a comparison. So anyway, that's it.
Right. Well, he was making a glaring example, wasn't he? Glaring example, because he says, for a righteous man will one die. In other words, like Pat was talking about out of the NASB, you ain't going to do it most of the time. You know, you're on your own, brother. But Christ didn't look at it that way. He looked at it that here's all humanity out there, a bunch of yahoos, sinners. Since Adam, he said, I got to die for him. I got to die for him. I got to help save him. And he took his life. He let him take his life for all of us, every one of us, bad guys, good guys, all together. It didn't make him any difference. He wanted to do what the Father wanted him to do. Yeah, man.
It keeps bringing me back whenever we talk about love, back to that book called Absolute Surrender. In chapter 2, he talks about love as being selfless.
Yeah.
And he totally just disregarded himself out of the equation of what he was doing every day. So it's just like, I try and explain it every day to people. It's just like true love, like you can love someone, but deep down in your heart, you're sort of trying to edify yourself in a way. You probably do it subconsciously because in the natural, that's what humans do. But the way that Christ loved is that every day, like he was healing people, he was teaching people, and eventually he went to his cross for the future chosen people. And so he completely disregarded, again, I'm just going to repeat myself, completely just disregarded himself from the equations of the actions of what he was doing out of love, out of obedience to his Father and his love towards his brothers and sisters that he's eventually going to have. Because we weren't his brothers and sisters yet when he was on the earth, because, you know, he didn't have any yet, but then later on we were born again and became his brothers and sisters, but he knew he was going to have brothers and sisters. Anyways, it's total disregardment of self towards others. And I remember reading it somewhere in Corinthians, do all things unto edification, not only just in the body of Christ, but just love for all. That's the love that he wants us to have for all people. Just don't think of yourself, just think of others.
We're a brother of Christ, a servant of mankind, and the devil's master, right? Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking, I don't know if this is where this plugs in, but once upon a time, I was thinking upon the love of God, and my perceived conversation at that time of what happened in heaven. And the story was, this was connected more to God's placing a value upon us. I think at that time I was probably struggling with self-rejection and depression and worthless feelings of, you know, whatever. And it tied in with that verse that said, we were bought with the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, you're not your own, or those verses related to that. And the Lord took me through a time of looking, I guess, at value and what establishes value of a thing. And a value of a thing is greatly set or established by how much somebody will pay for that item. There's some items that you would look at, you might think, that's a piece of junk. And there's a high chance that it probably is a piece of junk. But if somebody values that thing in the millions, it establishes the value of that thing. And I was thinking about Jesus when he paid his life for us. He established a certain value there on our lives, on us. And I'm not sure that I can elaborate on that, but he gave me the example of a person. You've heard the stories of people drowning or floating in a flood and floating down a river. And a person will dive in after those people to try to save them. And at that point in time, that person, for whatever reason, determined that that person floating in that water, helpless, floating down the river, was of more value than their own life. And they dove in to save them. And you've also heard the stories of many that did so to their own peril and died. There's a good song about that, that very thing. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it was, well, I won't get into that. Maybe I'll dig the song up and relate that story, later, but that person, in diving in to save that person, established a value on that other person, and that value was their life, their life. And I envisioned the conversation in heaven that God knew that there was going to have to be a sacrifice, a death, to pay for this, for these people. And it was discussed if Jesus would go, to be. And now I'm sure that this conversation didn't happen, but just for the point of the story, Jesus said, I will go and I will sacrifice my life. And the Father said, no, I could not bear that. I will go and you stay. And yet there was the battle in heaven that who would go, the Father or the Son, the Father or the Son. And at that time, I realized in the example of the Father allowing Jesus to come and pay that price was, in a sense, more of an expression of love for us, in that he was able to allow his Son to come and die for our sin, as opposed to his natural inclination of coming himself. And anybody that has ever had a child suffer can relate to the fact that in your heart, you cried out many times saying, let me be the sick one. Let me take it upon myself. I'll take it. Let the child go free. There's that natural inclination of a parent and a father to take that upon themselves and exchange that pain and take it for their child. Yet, and God had to fight that, had to resist that, had to express more of a love for in allowing his Son to go and pay that price. And it just speaks, to me, it speaks of the incredible value that God placed upon us, that he would do that for us. And so I don't know if this ties in with what we're talking about here, but because it's more on the value aspect. But I think of that verse said that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he valued us so much that he allowed his Son to come and die for us. And so I just thought I'd throw that in. That was very good for me at the time when I learned it.
Thank you, Patrick. Ben, did you have something?
It's a little something. Michael, you were saying how Jesus was like, oh, even for Adam, I have to go to the cross. But I also just, a verse kind of popped into my mind. Old Testament, I think Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So he didn't just die for the Old Testament people, but he knew you in your womb. So he was like, oh, I gotta die for Missy's sins. Oh, I gotta die for Joe's sins. Oh, I gotta go to the cross for Barry's sins. So he knew you going to the cross. And that was just another just expression for the people that weren't even physically born yet. He went to the cross for them as well.
Amen. He went to the cross of billions and billions of people. Okay, anyone else on what we just read? Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, it says that we're to walk as he walked, and just a reminder that, you know, even for people that don't seem like they deserve it, I guess, for us, you know, we have to lay down our lives for them even, because, well, we don't know it like he does. We don't know who it is that's written from the foundation of the earth, but we still have to walk it like he walked it. Does that make sense? I mean, try to at least. And the grace that he gives us.
Amen. Just think about it this way. Put it more in the natural. When the Twin Towers came down, the firemen were still going in to rescue people. There were still some all the way up in the top trying to get people out of there before, you know, whatever happened. They didn't know it was going to come down, but they did know it was on fire and they had to get those people out. And then when that one tower fell, you know, golly. But they did it because they love to help people, in my estimation. How many of you would go into a burning building to save somebody? Yeah, really, we don't know until the time arrives. He saw a kid up on the second floor in a house that was on fire. How many of us would try to get that kid down, you know? I know probably all of us. I'm just going to say all of us probably would. But, you know, there can't be any second guessing. You know, hesitation will cost somebody's life. That's what Jesus did. He didn't hesitate. He said, not my will, but your will, Lord. Yeah, Lana.
I wanted to share something that was coming to me about being in such a situation. Having jumped into a pool to save my drowning kid, you don't even think twice. Or maybe you do, but I don't remember. And then I was thinking about the firemen who went in on September 11th. And it got me thinking about the fact that these men have been trained. They have been trained and conditioned. They knew exactly what they were doing, regardless of what was going to happen. They knew exactly what to do when they got into the building. They knew what to look for, whether or not they'd get out of that building. And I was thinking to myself, if I were watching a building burn and I wanted to go in, I think I could go in by the grace of God. Otherwise, I imagine in my mortal flesh, I would have doubts about how to navigate a burning building. I would have doubts about being able to handle myself to get somebody else out of that building. And so that scripture rings true in my ears. Would I be willing to die for somebody to rescue them from a dangerous situation if I didn't have the confidence of knowing that I was doing all the right things to reach them and to get back? I mean, if somebody was drowning in the middle of a pool, I'm not a good swimmer. And once again, I don't know if I'd be able to jump in there because I don't know what I'm doing. Professionals can, and the rest of us might by the grace of God. Just a few of my thoughts there.
I did. All right, anyone else? You know, that's something to think about. I guess I've never thought about what would you do if, you know, kind of stuff. A lot of times we just react with what our heart tells us, right? Right or wrong, we react on how we are as a person. And I pray that I pray that I would do the right thing and save somebody's life for my own. That's the love that Christ wants us to have, is the love of Christ in us. And that's why I pray a lot nowadays. It's the last few days, few weeks maybe, for Christ's heart to be replaced, to replace my heart. Because when you get Christ's heart, there's no question about what you'll do, right? No question. Okay, let's see here. I think I'm on 8, right? Let me 9. I think I'm on 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath through him. Wrath of God, was added. Through him. What is he talking about? Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. You may read another. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Somebody tell me what he's talking about there. Could it be that he's talking about because of Jesus' blood, it has saved us from the wrath of God? Let me just put it in my turn. You think that's what he's talking about? Okay. Anybody want to elaborate? Yeah, Debbie. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, sorry about that. I forgot to mute. Sorry. Hi, everybody. I just was thinking that we're always thinking about the benefits of our salvation. So it's like the benefits of being justified by faith as we're longer walking in that justification, that we will be saved from the wrath to come through him.
Yeah.
And that the other one is, we reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Anybody know about that one? I just got the first one, I think. Yes, they both got to be benefits of, you know, being reconciled through our justification. So that's all I had.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Leon. Thank you, Debbie.
Something small. I remember David had a teaching on mercy and judgment. Now we want to continue to take the mercy of God and not his judgment. And his judgment is for the people that are not in Christ, because God's not going to judge. Well, he's not going to put his wrath upon his children. I'd say judgment comes upon his children at certain times, but what I'm trying to emphasize is that we receive mercy, not wrath. And the great mercy is that it's Christ within us, because God's not going to judge people. Well, I'm not wording this right, but he's giving us mercy instead of the wrath, because it's Christ within us. is basically what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man. Go ahead, Julie.
I think verse 10 where it says, while we were enemies, it's like when we were dead in our sin, we were enemies with God. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. And I believe the reconciliation is what David teaches, and it is an exchange where God took our old nature away and reconciled us fully by giving us his life in exchange, so that we're no longer his enemy.
Amen. Shall we be saved by his life?
His life. He gave us his life.
Yeah.
It's like, that's, I don't live anymore. Yeah.
He made that exchange for us. Glory to God. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just that we don't, you know, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. I have his life now. So that's the only way the exchange is made. That's the only way we have eternal life is in him.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. He went to the cross for us. Lord of God, Lord of God. So we don't have to. That's why we were enemies. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation, the exchange. Anybody want to comment on that? We just got through talking about. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received that reconciliation, that exchange. Christ went to the cross for us, so we don't have to. Anybody want to comment more on what we just went through, 1 through 11? All right, let's go to 12. Death and Adam, life in Christ. That's what my Esau had said. Death and Adam and life in Christ. You might know what that means. All right, let's go to 12. Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death passed unto all men, for the all sin. What is he talking about? Therefore, what is that somebody said? What is therefore?
Allison Van Ruckel.
Just a moment. Anybody got any thoughts on that? Therefore, as through one man, sin entered into the world. That was Adam. We all know that. And death through sin. Let's talk about that just a minute. Boy, there's a lot there. How many of you see a lot in that right there? Huh? How many of you know before he sinned what was going on? Everything was alive. Everything was getting along. Everything that was there was living from now on. No sin in the world. No death in the world. Dinosaurs were millions of years old. They didn't die. Adam and Eve did die until they took a chew out of that forbidden fruit. Once they took the chew out of the bin, they took that bite out that bit forbidden fruit, everything went to hell in a handbasket. The dinosaur started dying. And people started dying after 900 years. But that's what happened. Death reigned on earth then. Before that, there was nothing but blissful living. They didn't even have to go to the grocery store to get something to eat. Walmart was right there at the house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was easy living. They had all that stuff right there where they were. Didn't have to buy tennis shoes or shirts or dresses or nothing. They were just living blissfully with the Lord. Until that woman. I thought I'd get a rise out of somebody. Anyway, can you imagine how exciting it was to live during that period of time? Just like it was in heaven, wasn't it? They were walking and talking with the Lord every day in the cool of the morning. Or the warmth of the morning, ever what it was. But then when he took that bite, or she did, he did, both of them did, both of them at fault. Then it just destroyed everything. And that's where it began. But then when Jesus came back, they destroyed the fellowship with the Lord. That's what they did. They took away the fellowship with the Lord. But then when Jesus came back, he came back for one purpose, didn't he? Can somebody tell me what that purpose was? I just said it. Yeah, Ben.
To get kind of back to what it's supposed to be, like what it was before the fall?
Yeah.
Like
personal fellowship.
The personal and like personal fellowship with God. You know, he wants that back for all of his children.
That's right. Not only that, the whole world now is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to bring back heaven on earth. And that's going to be our job. How many of you know that we're to bring heaven on earth to the people? Nobody? Just me? Amen. I know y'all do. I'm just kidding. Yeah, Pat, go ahead. Well, that brought up some hands. Go ahead, brother.
You know, when I'm trying to get back to my e-sword here, but that next verse kind of stops you in your tracks to a certain degree, because it almost seems like it doesn't fit there, because he says, death through sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not put to account when there is no law. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, that almost is disjointed or something. I'm having a hard time seeing how it connects with that verse previous to that. So I'm assuming that maybe he's starting to build you know, another narrative or build upon the next verses that he's talking about. So I won't go there, but it just seems like that's one of those verses that gets thrown in there, and it, you kind of stand back and wonder, where did that come from? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's maybe a little bit too premature, but anyway, I just thought I'd throw it out. Not sure what it means at this point.
Well, I think it's time for that verse 12, isn't it? Yeah.
Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. Therefore, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin's not imputed when there is no law. Where was the law?
Coming a little bit later with Moses, I would suspect.
Well, let's go ahead, Barry.
It seems like the thou shalt not eat of it is the law under Adam. You know, that was the law. That was it. You know, everything else was fine, but don't eat all that tree over there. So that was that at the time, that was the law.
That was the law. He had one thing to do and that only, or not to do. Go ahead, Joe. Thank you, Barry.
That's interesting. The Lord showed me the other day. But we talk about the law now, what Barry was talking about, the knowledge of good or evil. In Genesis 2:9, the Lord says, make every tree that is pleasant in my sight and good for fruit. That could be the worldly people. Tree of life would be Jesus, the grace and truth. And then the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that will be the law, that will be Moses. It just intersecting me, the Lord showed me that three different corporate bodies of people that's in the world. But that doesn't know the Lord, but wanting to know Jesus and wanting to know the law itself. Does it make any sense to anybody?
Yeah, it does. Well, I think we'll continue on next week. We'll start back with 5:12 next week because we need to go on down to the 14 or so. Okay, I gotta figure out how to highlight that. Aha! Here we go. There it is. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Romans 5, some interesting stuff in there. Thursday night, it's singing time, as we say in Arkansas, it's singing time. I know singing going on, it's all singing. So, before the meeting, send it in an email. After the meeting starts and you still want something else, put up or text it to me because I ain't got time to go down in my Outlook and, you know, go find it then. But after the meeting starts, you can text it to me and I'll have my phone up there. Yeah, Debbie. Praise and worship time. Glory to God. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm trying to get, I wanted to ask for prayer. Whoop. I want to ask for prayer for something. Denny's sister is having a, I don't know really what's going on. I just found out today that she has been having problems breathing and walking. She's a wonderful Christian lady, her and her husband and her and McJodine and Mickey is them. Just beautiful. But anyway, she's having surgery tomorrow morning. I think it's a bypass I guess she's, I just found out too that she was in the hospital. I didn't know this. With been diagnosed with congestive heart failure. Yet they're going to do a bypass. I guess that's what I'm hearing. So, but she was all swollen up so badly today after she'd been out of the hospital. She went back to the emergency again and they put her in and said tomorrow morning this heart surgery. So they're asking that we pray and pass on for prayer. So.
Okay.
And the thing is that her daughter is getting married Saturday in Washington. She has 9 children. And the others are going to fly out to, the kids are flying out there in tomorrow morning. There they were. So I don't know if they can change their flight tickets and go on as long as they'd be there Thursday or Wednesday for the, be there for their mom for the surgery. I don't know. I imagine some will even stay behind, period. But just that situation should be covered too, because it's, I don't know about this wedding now being up in the air because of this, because they're all very, very close. Even though they're distant, they're really very close. So, anyway.
Well, why don't you pray since you got everything and we'll believe with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, thank you, Father. I just thank you for Jody and I thank you for her life, Lord God, and the, just the wonderful, woman of God, she's been into her children, Lord, so much into all of their lives, Lord God. And just, I just pray, God, that, that God, that you, Father, would just take over this, Lord God. You would, be the hands, Lord God, to heal her, Father God. And, I thank you that she's been wanting to trust in you, that she hasn't been wanting to have anything done except, the children wanting her to, but she's wanted to stand in faith. And so, Lord, I just pray you honor her faith, God, with, and, you went to the cross, God, for this, Lord, and just to acclaim, God, that, that healing, Lord, that, that, you paid for her to have, Lord God. And so I thank you, Father, that you will just, bring her out of this, Lord God, and heal her, Father, and give her back to her family whole and well, and give her a dynamic testimony, Father, of your goodness, Lord, and your grace and your mercy, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, too, for the situation for all the kids and this wedding, Lord, that we just commit all that to you, Lord. Commit it to you to have your way in everything, Lord. And who comes and whatever decisions are made, that it's going to be you, Lord. We think it's going to be you, God, that heals Jodine, Father God. That, and just give you all the praise and glory, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' Amen. Name.
Amen. We all agree, and we thank you, Father, that it is done. In Jesus' name. You got an angel or something standing in front of your camera.
Oh, not that again. I just knocked it off once. Sorry.
Kind of slipped off. Right? Yes, Lord, we just thank you for bringing her through this, and it's going to be a successful surgery in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask that you do it before the surgery and let you get the glory rather than the doctors. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else before we close out? Y'all be that, put the battle gear on. And that lamp above your head that Joe saw. And walk around here with a smile on your face and a skip in your walk. So that people recognize Jesus. Look at that. There goes Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody go over and talk to him. There you go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Y'all be blessed. You hear? Y'all hang with me.